This is the week of June 5th, and the music of Andre Lewis at AndreLewis.com. Hi, I'm Marlena, and you're listening to the Marlena Program, heard weekly at this time on ACB Radio Mainstream. For the next 2 hours, give or take, we'll be taking your phone calls at 866-666-7926. Love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your ideas, your suggestions, your opinions, whatever. Why don't you come on in, get comfy, spend some time with me, and give me a call, huh? Right here on Marlena. Oh, it's a lovely Seattle Sunday afternoon, evening, and we're just really kind of finally enjoying good weather. Thanks for coming on in. I'm Marlena. We're going to get to our show in just a couple of seconds, but there are a couple of things I want to do first, not the least of which is to acknowledge the very sad passing of a very dear friend to ACB. Those of you who knew her, I'm sure, and who have heard will also share my sadness in the loss of Pat Schreck. And so as much as one can do that on an internet radio program, I'd just like to take a second to acknowledge Pat and give her the respect that she deserves. So, Pat, wherever you are, we know that you're in a better place, and you're looking and watching all of us, and we've just got one more angel up there to try to help us make the right decisions and take the right steps. We're going to be live this week, and then for the next 2 weeks, it'll be a replay, and Gary the board guy and I will be away on vacation. We're taking a cruise to Alaska. So one of those 2 weeks, you can listen for Ronnie Millsap. I'll make you check back each week, though. Ha! See which one it's going to be. But this week, we are live, and I'm just absolutely delighted because I get to spend the first hour of this show with two very dear, I've stopped saying old because at my age, you don't ever want to be known as old. So two very dear friends of mine from the days when I lived back in Washington, D.C. We're going to bring in right now Bernice Kandarian and Roger Peterson. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay.
That was kind of a...
As well as can be expected.
Well, I need to let everyone know that Roger and Bernice just jumped in here at the last minute for me, as late as this afternoon, because I had one show scheduled, and we've opted to move that one till the last Sunday in June. And then I had a replacement show scheduled, and the person doing the replacement show with me got sick. So I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And then I thought I'd like to do something that I've never done on the program, really. We talk a lot about convention and what's going to go on in conventions, in with affiliate meetings and so on, but very rarely, in fact, never, that's how rare it is, have I ever really highlighted any of the ACB committees. So I started with the two on which I'm honored to serve, the Women's Concerns Committee, which Bernice chairs, and the Information Access Committee, which is chaired by Susan Mesrui and on which Roger serves with me. So since I was going to bombard one, I thought I'd get both of these good folks on to chat a little bit about the committees. Bernice, let's start with the Women's Concerns Committee. Do you want to kind of outline a little bit about the program, and I'll jump in? And this is very informal because these poor folks have had like 2 hours notice. So,
yeah, you know, Durwood McDaniel would have described this show as being snake bit.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I guess I would like to first give a brief history of the Women's Concerns Committee.
Go for it.
It was started in at the 1974 convention in Chicago, and it was the brainchild of Brad Burson, a founding member of ACB. And it existed all of these years in various forms, and since I've been chair, my focus is trying to mainstream people into society and not be insular amongst ourselves. This year's program is a little broader than last year's, in that we are bringing back Marianne Main from the Mammacare Project to work with members on breast self-exam and breast screening, and we are going to do a joint session with the Recreation Zone on Pilates on Monday, and on Wednesday we are by popular request, we're going to do another Red Hat Society luncheon.
I'm really looking forward to that. I was sick last year and I missed it. So,
well, you've attained your birthitude, you know.
I have. That's right. I'm proud of it, baby.
and then that afternoon we're having a panel discussion on what message are you getting from me. And then on Thursday, we're going to have another presentation called The Puzzle Pieces That Balance Us, which will be a presentation by Debbie Hazelton.
I believe a previous guest on this show.
Absolutely, and probably listening at the moment. Hopefully, maybe she'll call in. Now,
Dale.
I want to talk a bit about Marianne Main's project. You know, that really jazzed me when you told me about that project. And I could talk about it, but I'd rather have you talk about what is that, what is she going to be doing?
Well, a few years back, Dr. Main conducted a survey of about, I think there were over 400 blind or visually impaired women who participated in her study, and developed a kit called Mammacare kit, and what the kit consists of is a breast model that has actual samples of different kinds of things that one can detect, and it contains a cassette tape and an audio described video. And
she found in her survey that people were not getting proper screening, I think, right?
That
they weren't being taught how to self-examine and so forth.
And that materials were not available in alternate format.
Yeah, because so much of the material is like a chart, you know, and you hang it on your shower and you look at it. Well, isn't that going to help blind women just a whole heck of a lot?
So we had her at the 2002 convention in Houston, and it's interesting that as the convention moves around the country, it's not a problem to repeat a program because there's so many new attendees at each convention. But one of the things that was so rewarding at that convention was that people came up to her and said, "Oh, I participated in your study," that because of your study, I went to the doctor and I found, you know, X, Y, and Z, and you know how much you helped me and all of that. So we felt it was worthy of repeating. And she's going to do a presentation on Sunday afternoon and bring us up to date about statistics and techniques and trends. And then she will be available the rest of the week,
through Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for people to make individual appointments to consult with her. And we want to be sure that, that people are aware that she will be available. It's at no charge, and that people are free to make appointments with her and have the individual consultations.
And in fact, her portion of the Women's Concerns presentation this year at convention is being underwritten by the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So it's a big deal.
Thanks to a nice letter from certain Marlena.
Well, you're not supposed to say that.
Hard-working committee person.
Yeah, but, working committee member.
But it's a big deal. And so if you are going to be a convention and you are a woman, or you and your wife are going to be, or your girlfriend or your friend, and that person, that significant other is a woman, please make sure that you know about it, that others know about it, because this is something that just doesn't happen. We don't, as blind women, have an opportunity to really consult with someone who can have things that we can look at, examine, a video that is described that will really help us to understand. You know, I mean, you know, I think I know how to do self-examination, but boy, you bet I'm going to make sure I'm doing it right. So this is something that I think I'm not speaking out of turn when I say the Women's Concerns Committee is very passionate about. We really want people to learn about this and know how to keep yourself safe and to do these monthly exams and to do them correctly. All right, so she's going to do that on Sunday, right?
Yes.
The actual formal presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then she will be available at the hotel Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Yes. Right.
And are we going to put something in the newspaper about that?
It will be in the daily newspaper, yes.
Oh, good.
The Jacksonville Sun.
The Jacksonville Sun, that's right. So if you forget, we'll remind you, because that's how we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
I notice Bernice reminds me of a lot of things a lot of times.
Well, she needs to, Roger. You know, you've reached your birthitude too, baby. The other committee that and we're going to open the line here in just a bit, but before we do, I want to talk with Roger a bit about the Information Access Committee. We're going to be meeting on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. That's Saturday, July the 8th at 2 p.m.
At the beginning of the convention.
At the beginning, not the end.
Right.
The best comes first, right, Raj?
Right.
Yeah. Say that with a little more conviction, would you please? And we're planning on about a two-hour meeting, I think. And I'm going to let Roger tell you a little bit about what he is planning to bring to the committee meeting. And then he and I can kind of share back and forth about sort of the rest of the meeting. So go for it, Roger.
Let me just say that first that I think we started out with an environmental access committee in ACB, and then we decided that a lot of the issues were really information issues more than environmental issues, although at bottom really all, it seems like all issues related to barriers to blind people are information issues, whether it's information about where the curb is or,
yeah,
or where the men's room
exactly.
is or whatever. But we felt that there was a useful dividing line between the tactile curb edges and pedestrian signals and that kind of the built environment and that kind of stuff, and all these issues about alternate formats and computer software and audio description and all these things that are really pretty purely information, web access. And so there became two committees, an environmental access and an information access committee, and they still, on occasion, work together on issues. But they, again, like so many of the committees in ACB, information access has kind of gone up and down, become more and less active over the years, and I was chair of it for a while. And while I was chair, we actually we actually took a trip to Microsoft. That was pretty exciting.
Wow.
And,
how come I wasn't on that committee then? Darn it.
And I don't know yet.
Doggone it.
But it was pretty interesting. And I have to say, by the way, that one of the people that really was indispensable to me when I was chair of that committee and when we went to Microsoft and so forth was our late great friend John Mattioli.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Who died so unexpectedly and so young and everything, and we all miss him. He was the guy who kept me in line. He kept saying, "Well, do you have an agenda for this meeting? You know, I think this is what should be on the agenda," and so on. And so we got the committee going, and then it faltered, and it went, and it faltered, and now, as you said, Susan Mazrui is the chair, and she's doing a great job. We're having approximately monthly teleconference meetings, and so it isn't just a matter of meeting at the convention. So our meeting at the convention is really kind of a presentation to the conventioners of what we're doing, and we're going to have this person named Marlena who's going to be the facilitator of the session.
Throw her out.
And we're going to have some items. I think we're hoping to have someone from Adobe talk about the infamous PDF document and how we can optimize our access to that. And we're going to talk some about home appliances and their access to them. We know that that's a big issue on the part of members of ACB, and we certainly think it is. And it's just a matter, really, with that issue, it's more a matter of where to get a handle on it, because there's no law that says that home appliances have to be accessible.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So trying to figure that out. So, and then I've been kind of trying to follow the status of audio description in this country, and we've got, you know, ACB is the organization that has been solidly behind the legislation to assert the Federal Communication Commission's right to require audio description on TV, and so we want to spend a little time on that. So it should be an interesting couple of hours on Saturday afternoon if you plan to be at the convention that early, and you're certainly welcome to come and talk with us about what's going on in the Information Access Committee.
And I think that last phrase, talk with us, is a key
right.
thing. We plan to leave time in this packed 2 hours. Oh yeah, everybody, we're going to compress everyone. So not only will you lose weight if you come, but you'll talk faster. Oh, the benefits are enormous. But we want to leave time for the committee to hear from attendees. What are your information access concerns? What focus do you think, as a member or a friend or a participant in ACB, what focus do you think we should have? Let me just say that the lines are open. The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. And pretty much either topic, we welcome your input. And I bet that we'll take that input back to each respective committee. And who knows, you may shape what we do in July. 866-666-7926. Some of the concerns for Adobe are really interesting. Of course, on the Empowerment Zone now, there's a, what is the name of it? What is it called, Roger? Is it PAL? The utility that opens up the Adobe files. Do you know? I can't remember
the
name.
What I know is the Acrobat Reader.
No, but Jamal's got one up there.
Oh, Jamal has a thing, yeah.
Yeah. Let me bring in this
Jamal
caller.
Jamal just happens to be the husband of our chair.
Yes. We have a caller. Let's bring them in. Hello, you're with Marlena, Bernice, and Roger. Who's this?
Hello, it's Debbie Hazelton.
Well, hey. Well, oh. Speak of the balance.
Oh, I kept trying to call in earlier, and I just no way I could get through. But anyway, nice to be with you all. I wanted to share that when I first went to a gynecologist, they had a model of breast that was covered with plastic and filled with some kind of squishy material, and they gave me the task to find the problem areas by touching it and massaging it, basically. And I found them, but there were definitely different textures and different things to find, and I thought it was really neat they had that in their office.
Wow, that is cool. Have you ever seen anything like that, Bernice?
That is the kit that MammyCare has developed.
Huh, because this was back in the 70s, not to date myself or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You were old enough back then.
She's reached her birthitude.
I was developed at age three.
She's reached her birthitude. Don't let her kid you.
I was a very mature little toddler.
The breast model has gone through a number of versions of, you know, the one they have now has a ribbon on it to hang around your neck and a backing so it doesn't slip around, since the first one that I saw, they have changed it.
So you actually wear it, do you?
Yeah, when you're working with it, you actually wear it. Yes.
Oh, that's very cool. That's much more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. I guess because then you can get the used to hand placement and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Debbie, do you want to talk for a second about your session?
Sure. We're going to be talking about ways to help ourselves de-stress and feel better. I mean, I've you know, people have asked me over and over now, what do you really do?
And what do you really do? Yeah.
I've done my best to simplify it down to I help people feel better. So I'm going to be sharing out of my bag of tricks of different things that help people feel better, aromatherapy, and I'm about to get certified in aromatherapy. So, I'll be hopefully bringing in lots of things that smell good. But how
sweet
aromas
smell of success.
Can... Huh?
Oh, say it again, Roger.
I said the sweet smell of success.
Well, let's hope so. But, to bring in aromas that actually, I mean, how many times do we smell things that help us feel better, you know? I mean, even all that food that Dale was talking about last hour, you know, when I smell good food cooking, it's comforting. And so there are different aromas that can help us feel better emotionally. And so we're going to talk about that, and then there are some the Bach flower essences are flower essences that are not aromatic, but what they can do to help us with emotions. I think I talked about that on your show before.
Yeah.
And then we're going to also talk about the emotional freedom technique, if we have time. It's basically tapping, you know, people go to acupuncture sometimes to get help and to get relief in a variety of ways to de-stress. Well, this is something that uses tapping and different kinds of statements on pressure points, on meridians that, points on the hands, points on the head, on the face, on the chest, but not the same ones as the breast exam one.
Yes, don't get them mixed up, please.
Yeah, right.
This isn't that kind of show now.
This isn't about a booby prize or anything like that.
I knew that was...
See, I didn't say that this time.
I know.
You may want to edit that out. I'm sorry.
There's no editing on live radio, Hazelton. You've done it.
Okay, well... All right, well, I guess if you want to keep abreast of things, you'll just have to be there to take
Would you quit being such a boob and get on with it?
Uh-huh. one of the best ways to de-stress. So we'll probably be doing a lot of laughter that day, hopefully. It's a great way to de-stress.
And
I look forward to being with Women's Concerns. I actually spoke for them many years ago, too, once.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And then Debbie will also be on the panel. Let's see. It's my panel.
On Wednesday.
What is it called? What message am I?
Are you getting from me?
It's my panel. I don't even know the name of it. And we'll just talk a little bit about that here. What my conception of that is that it's just going to be an opportunity for women to talk about, maybe wonder aloud about things that they've often wondered about, like, you know, how do you sit? You know, does everybody really sit with their ankles crossed and one knee crossed over another? Or how do you physically, by what you do, how do you communicate with other people? And there's no right, there's no wrong. It's just an opportunity. I absolutely believe that as blind people, one of the things that we frequently miss out on is how we appear to others. And I don't mean, you know, if you're a guy, you got to go out and get a Brooks Brothers suit. And if you're a gal, you need to, you know, wear, you know, clothes from Nordstrom's or something like that. That has nothing to do with it. That's all sort of surface stuff. But it's more the way you are physically, the way that
body language.
Yeah, body language.
I've found that I have to consciously think about or consciously remember that people can see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I can't see what they're doing.
Yeah, it's that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too.
And what do you do if you have an itch? And what do you do if, you know, I mean...
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard that if you're a baseball player, it's okay.
It's okay. That's right. But only if you're a baseball player, Roger. And Debbie, I want you also to let folks know what you're doing at convention that will benefit ACB Radio.
Well, I'm going to be doing both massage and box flower formulas that. Some of that could include counseling, but I'm going to be having private sessions for people that they can sign up for even in advance or buy gift certificates to get a one-hour session, and we can do either of those kinds of things in that session. Private sessions for 1 hour start at $55. I don't remember what I wrote down now for I did put pricing in first for hour and a half and up to 2 hours. I think 2 hours is probably $100. Anyway, if people want private sessions, they can schedule with me, and I will have products for sale. And if anyone, 10% of whatever is made money-wise from products or sessions goes back to ACB Radio, and if anyone makes a donation of $20 in addition to the private session, then they get a free gift from me.
So that's a pretty good deal. So.
Well, I'm real excited.
Yeah.
I'm real excited. So I'll give my email address, and I know it was played on the commercial that was on earlier, but just in case, it's Healing Hands. That's H-E-A-L-I-N-G. HANDS, Healing Hands, number 4, letter U, at DebbieHazelton.com. And Debbie Hazelton is DebbieHazelton.com.
Great. All right.
So looking forward to being there and seeing everybody. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I love ACB. I love to go to conventions.
I really
think you're going to be in demand for the people who are running for the board.
I know, man. Talk about stress.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll be there to help de-stress.
Yeah, well, you get them good and de-stressed, Debbie, so that they run good campaigns, so that we can make good choices.
That's right.
You got a lot.
There you go.
You got a lot on your shoulders, girl.
All right. Well, you know what You know, shoulders are interesting when I talk about massage. Shoulders are interesting. Do you know the bulk of the word shoulder? You know what word it is?
Should.
Should. So people talk about their shoulders, and I'll say, oh, you mean the shoulders?
Yeah, the shoulders.
What's that? And I go, the shoulders, the should is the should. And I'll say, you know, we spend a lot of time shooting on ourselves and shooting on each other, and everybody's shooting on us, and then laugh.
And we carry our stress in our shoulds.
In our shoulders,
yep.
In our shoulders, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So,
well,
see you all in Jacksonville.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks, Debbie.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
866-666-7926 is the number to call. Roger and Bernice will be with us till just about the top of the hour, and then the second hour is our open forum time, and it'll be the last hour that I'll be with you for a couple of weeks, so you better call, because if you don't, I'll hunt you from Alaska. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think that that the committees this year, these two committees, are really offering, I mean, if you look at the programs that each of them are providing, the opportunities, it really does speak to almost the whole spectrum, doesn't it, of the ACB membership. You know, people interested
in one of the things that's really interesting that's come up a lot in the past few years is committees vis-a-vis special interest groups.
Yeah.
What their different functions are. And,
yeah.
You know, whether a committee should become a special interest group or something like that. But, you know, a committee is really an official arm of the ACB, there to advise the leadership of ACB, whereas, you know, a special interest group is organized it by itself for its own purposes, which may, you know, of course it may be consulted by ACB, but it's in some kind of sense a separate organization.
Sure.
Organized for its own reasons.
Yeah. How long have you been with ACB, Roger?
Let's see. This is going to be my 30th consecutive national convention.
Whoa. How about you, Bernice?
This will be my 34th.
And see, the only reason she has more than I do is because I went off on a different track for a while in that other organization and went to a few of its conventions until the leadership decided that I was no longer desirable as a member and as an affiliate president. But that's another story.
Oh, so now, you know, I guess I sort of knew this, but, you know, that's not part of the Roger that I know. Where were you presiding at the time? Where were you?
I was the president of the D.C. affiliate of NFP.
Ah.
And the affiliate was dechartered in 1975.
Why were they dechartered?
There were a number of reasons, but the proximate cause, as they say, was that at the 74 convention, the leadership came out with a resolution saying, thou shalt not, as an affiliate of NFB, participate in any coalition of people with disabilities. And I, as the delegate from D.C., was the sole no vote on that resolution.
Yeah, because ACCD was kind of in the thought process.
I was involved in that at the
time.
But, you know, they also, when I had my little audience with Mr. Jernigan, I was told that it was inappropriate for me to have a panel at the D.C. convention in 74 with a gay activist on it because, in his words, there's no room for that in our organization. It gives our opponents ammunition.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay,
just
well.
Little side road there.
There you go. Okay, fine. And what about you, Bernice? How long have you been in ACB?
I joined the Arizona Council of the Blind in January of 1973. I was looking for a new type of career, and I was put in touch with a fellow who was at that time a member of the board of ACB, John Van Lanningham. And Judge Van Lanningham was a schoolmate of Reese Robrand's. And
who's a former president.
Former president, yes.
Yeah, we were talking about Reese when Kathy Skivers was on a few weeks ago and kind of reminiscing about Reese. I can't remember if we did it on the air or off the air, but sometimes I get confused. I don't know who I talked to and what I was doing, but Reese's name did come up.
John and his lovely wife, Ruby, said, come on, and you know, got me to come to meetings. And John had done some kind of a fundraising project that the Arizona Council made $10,000. So what they did was, amongst those who were going to the national convention, they divided a certain portion of money, and Maxine Schramm and
it must not have been too much because you took the Greyhound bus. Right?
Yeah, we took the Greyhound bus from four of us from Phoenix to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Good grief!
Yeah, I'll never do that again.
That's one of those things you do once.
Yeah. You need it to put in your little belt, but that's the end of it. Now, so your first convention was 73, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had, I'm leading you a little here because you don't often sing your own praises, but you had something pretty darn significant to do with the National Association of Blind Students.
Well, first of all, our former executive director always wrote in the Braille Forum, the National Association, but its actual name is National Alliance of Blind Students.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
And
by the way, I had something to do with the student group in NFB, but that's again another story.
It's funny how there's parallels in our lives. What had happened was there had been a resolution in 1970. I actually wrote an article for the Blind Advocate, Student Advocate, when it was its 25th anniversary. What happened was two young students that were at the convention.
Well, smart aleck teenagers.
One was named Michael Byington and the other one was named Scott Marshall. Wrote a resolution.
Still smart aleck teenagers.
with the assistance of John Van Lanningham, by the way. And they submitted a resolution asking for there to be a student group in the American Council. And the president appointed a committee.
And who was president at that time?
Reese Robrand.
Reese, okay.
And the person that chaired the committee was Mac Riley. And they met in Portland in 1972. But they were unable to actually get the organization together.
So it's because you were not there.
And in 1973, when I came along, we were able to ratify a constitution. And when I returned home to Arizona, I typed it up, and I contacted Durward and found out how to fill out the papers and request that the organization be chartered. And we received the charter in 1974 at the convention in Chicago.
So it must give you a lot of pride when you see the students still coming, the alliance is still going. Like anything else, you know, it has its ups, it has its downs, but it's
all these guys that are running, you know, all these people who have leadership roles, you know, came out of the
student
group.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing that amazes me the most, that something that we put together so many years ago has been able to survive all these years, because we recognized in the very beginning that you're only a student for a limited time, and there's a high rate of turnover. And that's why we had, in 1975, we actually added to the board the position of mentors to help sustain the organization, and how we at that time had that the membership, you could still be a member as an alum for 2 years after you were no longer in school to give some continuity.
And what about you, Roger? What are some of your interests in ACB these days?
Well, I've attended my first convention in 1977 in Miami Beach, and then I got appointed to the Resolutions Committee. And
oh, lucky you! That's yeah, the working. Oy, oy, oy.
And as far as we know, I think it's true that the only time that a woman was ever chair of the Resolutions Committee was when Bernice was chair in 1978 in Salt Lake City, and I was a member of her committee, and that's when we met. You know, I've been serving. I was second vice president when we were in Arizona.
Of the
Arizona Council, and I've done a lot of committee work on resolutions, and then I mentioned the information access, of course. I've been on the awards committee, and here in California, I've been, since we moved to California in 1986, I've been on the board and done a lot of committee work here, too. I'm chair of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, California Council, and and as I said, when I was, you know, in NFB back in the middle late 60s, we were forming a student group there. In fact, one of the reasons I didn't get my PhD was that I spent so much time doing a directory of blind college students at the time. We were trying to figure out a way that blind folks could share accessible format textbooks and stuff so that, you know, two of them wouldn't have to be getting something transcribed or taped at the same time. And that directory of blind college students became the student division of NFB. And Bernice's name was actually in the directory. Sort of interesting.
That is interesting. And, you know, when you and Bernice, I want to talk to you a little bit about CCLV as well, because I know you're very heavily involved with that too. But one of the things that, you know, often students, younger people will call the show, and they're, you know, some folks may be studying at a facility for the blind like a lighthouse, and other folks are in college, and other folks are doing learning from whatever venue, maybe a community college or online. And it just, you know, the three of us are old enough to remember how tough it was, and we thought that we really had it aced. I mean, if you know, golly, if you were good with your slate and stylus and you had a cassette recorder, or you could read large print for a while, you know, you would, you know, just get those readers.
Open reel recorders.
Yeah. Oh, golly.
Those 50-pound Webcores.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a Webcore when I was a kid. And then remember the Sony, what was it, TC-105?
105.
Oh.
105.
Now that was a heck of a recorder.
Yeah. They just don't make them like that anymore.
No, they sure don't. They sure don't. But it just, when you talked, Roger, about, you know, establishing a directory of college students and who had what books, right away sprung into my mind, you know, little did you know that 40 years later, you know, here we would be on the internet, e-books, downloadable files, web braille. What a fabulous, we have seen, as blind people, we have seen so much in just our lifespan. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, Roger talks about the toss and crumple method of...
Yeah, editing braille, the toss and crumple,
yeah.
The crumple and toss method. You know, if you made a mistake on a page, you ripped it up and tore it and threw it across the room.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Writing things on typewriters when you didn't know whether the ribbon was working.
The ribbon, that's right. How many of us have, I can't even tell you the number of papers I've turned in with no ribbon. In fact, I remember once when I was working at the ACB office, we had those silly Selectric typewriters.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm typing away and I'm doing my thing. And one of the sighted staff looked over and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's no font ball in your typewriter. I was just...
Oh, dear.
I had to start all over again. Oh, my gosh. It was...
Well, I think it's really interesting, and sometime I think it would be a fun project to do. Since we've lived here in California, someone sent Roger a Braille copy of his directory, which contained 641 names. And when we read through it, it was a who's who in the blindness world, and it was very fascinating, and it would be fun to see where those people are now and what
they were.
There
were a lot of folks that were students then.
Wow,
whose names we recognize now.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. Tell me a little bit about CCLV.
Well, there was an interloper there when I sort of graduated from the students group. I was the secretary for the first 5 years that it existed, and then I moved on to what was then ACB
federal
employees. And I was
helped start that one too.
Yes,
rabble rouser.
She is a rabble rouser.
But in 1978 in Salt Lake City, the CCLVI was ratifying their constitution, and I became a charter member
of
that
group. And tell everybody what that stands for.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Council of Citizens with Low Vision, and then we added international at some point after it was well established. And actually, this too was the brainchild of two totally blind men, Gene Apple and Durwood McDaniel. And it came together.
We were trying to get rid of you, you know. Get those guys, those low vision people, their own organization.
That's right.
Leave us alone.
That's right. Get them out of here.
Well, you know, Durwood was very passionate about special interest affiliates, and in the early days of the organization, the membership was quite large. At one point, had more than 2,000 members, and the statistics that you hear bantered about are that 80% of people that are classified as legally blind have some useful vision, and so it was a natural fit.
Useful vision want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of different philosophies about how one should be trained
into the whole blindfold thing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bernice, you're a fairly high partial. I mean, maybe you're not as high as you
anymore. Not as high as anymore.
as you once were, but you certainly see more than Roger and I do.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about the whole blindfold thing?
Well, you know, it's all well and good to learn how to do that, but if one has vision that is useful and they should be encouraged. I feel that they should be encouraged to use it. Some people's vision is stable and some people's vision is not stable.
Mm-hmm.
And
but even if the blindfolding is a useful tool in training, it should be done by choice, not by.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Not
by force. We feel that it should be. It should be the individual's choice, and that they should have a say in how they receive their rehabilitation training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not.
It's funny because I tell Bernice sometimes that she could use some blindfold training because she can see just enough to trip over shadows. sometimes she sees things that look like something to trip on in their shadows.
Well, I can certainly remember, I mean, I mean, both you guys are, as I said at the beginning of this show, dear friends of mine, longtime friends of mine. And, I mean, I can remember going shopping with Bernice. And, I mean, you know.
Setting off the alarms.
Setting off alarms, yes. Setting off alarms and returning things just by bringing them back and setting them there and taking what we really wanted. Not shoplifting. It was the same item, just different size. But I can remember how well you used your vision, Bernice, and how well it was always a joy to go with you, because it was like having the perfect sighted person. You never got in the way of my dog guiding me. You always walked at my right shoulder because you knew that was where you should be. But you could read stuff and be like, wow, man, this is like the perfect.
Well, I think it's that, you know, my mother, her attitude was that she gave birth to a child with normal sight, and that that she wanted me to be able to do to a healthy child, and she wanted me to be able to do everything everybody else did. And she had a lot of what do you call that, Yankee ingenuity, and she figured out ways to teach me to do things and to try to participate as fully in life as I could. For instance, when I was in high school or all through school, she wanted me to participate in whatever I wanted to participate in. And she would have to drive me because I, you know, was raised on a farm and it was 9 miles from where I lived to the high school and whatever. And she would provide the transportation, but she made me go and do the things by myself. She wouldn't, you know, go and sit and hold my hand or anything. You know, I think that taught me how to, what is the word I want to say? I learned how to be, curious and learned how to participate, you know, in life.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's bring our caller in. Hi there, you're with Bernice, Roger, and Marlena. Who's this?
Oh, this is Kathy from Albany.
Hello, Kathy from Albany. How are you?
Oh, not bad, not bad.
Let's see this.
The reason I called is I was kind of hoping you would bring up the issue of CCLVI. It's not an issue. It's a very good special interest affiliate. I am on the board. And I think in you talking about low vision, I do have very useful low vision. In fact, I'm hoping to remember to get an article over into Vision Access. I've got two articles back-to-back that I wrote for our state newsletter. And it's called The Day That Changed the Rest of My Life.
Oh, cool.
It's a true story of back in September, I had cataract surgery done, and they were able to put a lens implant, which up until that time, since I was 3 or 4, wore glasses. After I had it done, I do not have to wear glasses anymore.
Wow.
Great.
I need reading glasses, but that's it.
Wow.
And
that's
I
fabulous.
Had these. That was the left eye, and I had the right eye done, and that was successful also. But I have to use the right eye. The retina is so thin, it's described as you get a piece of cellophane, and mm-hmm. you crinkle it up, and you try to flatten it out, and you can't totally flatten it out. So things look kind of wavy.
Yeah.
But the vision is clear. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It's clear. It's not hazy like it was when
sure.
I had the cataract.
Wow, that's fabulous. So that has made a big difference for you.
Yes.
But what do you think about blindfold training? What do you think that should be, a requirement or a choice?
That's definitely a choice.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be a requirement. That's I don't know if it's a good idea to do that or not. I mean, maybe to get the idea of not being able to see, to get an idea, but you could do that with just turning the lights out, you know, Yeah. The same effect.
Yeah.
In a
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
So I really don't think that's practical myself.
Talk about turning the lights out. These compact fluorescent lights. I find them to not produce the kind of light that's useful for me.
Yeah, and it varies, doesn't it, by individual. What's useful for one may not be.
No two of these low vision people agree on anything.
Well, that's true. You can't, because like you said before, there's, you know, everyone has a different variable with vision, and that's like, I can use a telescope to look at the distance. I thought was really, really freaky was I went to the eye doctor, and usually all you could see was the big letter E. After I had the cataract done, I could actually read the next line down. I was like, oh my God.
Well, you better tell Frank he can't get away with stuff anymore now.
Yeah, I don't.
You tell him, well, you're watching.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Natalie Berrega, who is Professor Emeritus in Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas in Austin, wrote a pamphlet back in 1963. She was, I think she said she was in India, and she was presenting, and after she finished, a sixth grader came up to her and said she wanted to see. The sixth grader had low vision, and she wanted to see Dr. Berrega's book. She wanted to see the pictures. She had never been taught to read, but she had some vision. And that led Dr. Berrega to write this pamphlet in 1963 on encouraging the use of vision in individuals that had
low vision. Sort of the beginning of the low vision education movement.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting we're having this conversation because just the other day I was recounting to Gary that when I was a child, up until the time I was about 8, I had some degree of vision. Now, it was poor even by low vision standards, but I could see shadows well enough to ride my bike, and as a little girl, I can remember playing with my shadow, and and I could count front lawns, so I'd know when I was home. And my parents actually taught me visually how to recognize certain letters, and I can remember sitting with a big full screen magnifier in front of my television and looking at the Arthur Godfrey Paper Mate pen commercial, and he had a big long banner that went across this table on which was written the words Paper Mate Pen, and I could see each letter. Well, they took me to the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Institute when I was 7 for an exam, and they wouldn't let my mother come in the room with me. So they started showing me, they put my head in this big thing, and I was scared to death, man. And they started showing me all these things, and I could see each and every object that they held up, but no one had ever showed me what those objects were. And so I just was guessing, oh, it's this, it's that, because I was too frightened to say, well, I don't know. No one's ever showed me that. And as a result of that exam, they decided that my vision was not good enough for glasses. And within the year, in fact, on my 8th birthday, I woke up and told my mom that it was awfully sad that it was so cloudy on my birthday and the sun was out bright and shiny, and, you know. So, I mean, you know, shame on the medical profession for doing that to a little kid, first of all. You know, it's...
You know, that's funny, because that's the... What you were experiencing is what they say is experienced by people like Mike May, who have been blind most of their lives and now can see. that they don't recognize, they can see things and they don't recognize them as being the equivalent of what they've held in their hand.
Yeah, I mean, they said that they showed me a banana.
It's a connection.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, it was just a curved thing, you know. How would I know? So anyway, Kathy, you sent me down that memory lane trip.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I did that, but I'm glad that I was able to get through and that, I hope everyone has a good time. I'm not going to be able to make the convention this year.
The convention will be that much the worse for your not being there.
Yeah. But I'm going to take the week off so I can listen to it.
Well, you stay right here on ACB Radio Mainstream.
That's right.
Chrissy Cochran, myself, and whoever else volunteers from the project, we're going to be making sure it's all up and happening.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. You know what? I really wish, I wish that, I know they'll have the sessions taped, but the special interest affiliate stuff, it's too bad they couldn't sneak some of that in there, too.
Yeah, it's a matter of cost.
I know.
It's hugely expensive to broadcast this stuff from hotels. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe some of the special interest, if any of the special interest folks, if you're listening, of course you're listening. So since I know you're all listening, if you can provide ACB Radio with files, we would be delighted to.
I know the bits routinely record.
Yeah,
their
sessions. Yeah, we'd be delighted to air your goings on after conventions. Thanks for reminding me.
Even if we don't hear it during the convention, but we hear it later on.
Yeah, that's true. Because Frank just read, he was reading the Braille Forum, and he was saying how that CCLVI was going to have some nice stuff going on this year. And I was like, oh, that figures, because I'm not going to be there. But
all right. Well, hey, watch what you're doing now, Kath.
Yeah, I know. But I just wanted to share that little story there.
That's great. We're delighted for you.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Bye-bye,
Kathy.
Well, you guys, I've kept you past what I said I would, and this has just great.
You know, one thing that it had occurred to me in our discussion of low vision is that I have recently become interested in my own eye condition. And, we were all taught to just say, we're blind, get over it, we don't care what caused it.
Yeah, talk about your eye condition is fascinating.
And now, after the convention in the end of July in Cleveland, there's going to be a conference of families with Leber's congenital amaurosis, which is what I have. And we're going to get to talk to all the doctors that are doing research in it and so forth. And
what is it, Roger?
Well, it's a retinal degenerative disease like retinitis pigmentosa, but it's earlier. It happens at birth or soon after birth.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have a little bit of vision at first and then none or whatever. But it's a genetic disease, and they're finding the genes now, and everybody's really excited. And there's going to be some therapy for some people. I don't anticipate getting my sight back or anything. I never had it, but it feels fun to be a member, like part of the human genome,
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to meet the person who invented or who discovered one of the genes that I have.
They have identified. They're going to announce the finding of another gene at this conference, they've found about 8 genes so far, which is now accounting for a little over 50% of the people with the condition, and it was very surprising to us that Roger was diagnosed with not one but two of the genes that they've discovered.
Two mutations. I'm really weird.
Wow, is that a double blind thing? No, never mind.
but the point I'm making, trying to make, is that I think now we've come to the point where we can say, yes, it's okay to be blind. Yes, I'm not going to sit in a rocking chair and wait to be cured. I'm going to live my life as a blind person, but it's still interesting to know what caused my blindness and to support the research in it and there may be implications for my offspring about my condition and so forth. So that's a change that's occurred in my life, and I think a lot of other people's lives recently.
I am blind due to, what do they call it these days? ROP?
Retinopathy of premature.
Yeah. I liked RLF better, man. Retrolental fibroplasia made me sound like I had,
Sarah Blake calls herself ROP girl.
ROP girl, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm ROP old lady. And, but I tell you what fascinates me, and I, maybe shouldn't even share this on my own show, but what the heck, it's just us. It's my show, darn it, and I like it that way. I I'd actually be curious to hear from other folks in either through calls or email if you have ever experienced this. I have artificial eyes, okay? I had my eyes enucleated when I was in my early 20s because I had terrible headaches and finally got to an eye doctor, which is a whole long story.
They don't work and they cause pain.
That's right. They don't work. They cause pain. Take them out. And I had to go through four different eye doctors to finally find one who would, but that's a whole other deal. And so I've had artificial eyes now for 30 plus years, and that's fine. But there are times when, as clearly as I hear your voices, I see light.
Mm-hmm.
And I can point to this spot, this part of the room is brighter. That part of the room is darker. We were driving in the car one time, and I put my hands up to my eyes and squished them, you know, clenched my eyes shut. And I said to Gary, my God, what was that? It was a street light. And just, it's bizarre stuff. We have a call. Can you guys stick around while we take the call?
Sure.
Good. Hey there, come on in. Who's this? This is Marlena.
Hi there, it's Sue Amateur.
Sue Amateur,
hey, Sue.
Hello.
Hello there. I missed most of the show because we were having a membership call, but I saw in the email that you were on tonight. See, you never know about Marlena. You can't depend on her every week.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's kind of interesting when I heard you talk a few minutes ago about if, you know, how people always used to say, wouldn't you really like to get your sight back?
Yeah.
And I think it was a guy in Japan that somehow he did get his sight back, but because he didn't recognize anything, like you were saying, Marlena, with your experience,
yeah,
he actually went crazy. I mean, because he didn't fit in the world anymore.
Yeah,
it's really interesting how the various, I mean, there have been two or three case studies, and the most successful one, I think, has been Michael May.
Yes.
Every time I get the chance in this LCA group, which is mostly parents with little kids that have the disease, and they, of course, all want cures.
Right.
I tell them that Mike May's lesson, the lesson to be learned from Mike May, is that the way that you can adjust if you ever do get a cure is by living life to the fullest as a blind person.
Yeah.
Mike said when he had this option of getting some sight back, he viewed it as an adventure, not as something that was life or death or anything. He was perfectly happy as a blind person. He had the downhill speed skiing championship for a totally blind person and all this kind of stuff. And when he did get some vision back, he could still use his blindness skills whenever he needed to. And he just looked at it as, he said, it's like a chance to go to the moon or something. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's no big deal.
But
you
have to really take
and
it.
And that's how you do it,
Because it would be like, you know, when babies are growing up, you say, this is a, you know, banana, or this is a piece of bread. Mm-hmm. I mean, there'd be a lot of things to look at you wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm. The other comment that Mike makes, and, you know, Mike had some sight until he was 3.5, is that that he had forgotten how rapid and how much movement there is in the world, and that sometimes he just has to close his eyes to you know, put down.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like, you know, when people who have been deaf have a cochlear implant.
Yeah.
I think they sometimes go on overload and they say they just kind of have to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I, like I said, I missed most of the first part of the show, but interestingly enough, Marlene, I was like you when I was little. I could see more. And I used to ride my bike. The only problem was I couldn't see the cars. Yes, parked cars.
Yeah, I used to run into parked cars, too.
Yeah, used to kind of tick the neighbors off.
Well, what I couldn't see eventually did me in as far as my poor mother. Oh, God love that woman, how she ever survived me. But she made me promise not to ride in the street. So, of course, that's the first thing I did.
I did, too.
Of course. And I got away with it for a good 6 months, man. I mean, I had a two-wheel bike, and I was riding around. I couldn't see trees.
Uh-oh.
And one day, I decided to go down a new street. I didn't know it was a hill because I couldn't see depth. And I have a false tooth now. To this day, I have a false front tooth because I lost it on a tree. I wrapped my bike around the tree. That was the end of the bike.
Well,
it was
of
me.
We lived in Richland, Washington. And in Richland, the sidewalks, for some reason, were really white. Or light colored in the street,
mm-hmm.
So I could ride next to the curb and see the sidewalk on my. I always rode with the sidewalk on my right.
Mm-hmm.
But that was fine unless the car came up because I was looking at the sidewalk. But
so what caused your blindness, Sue?
RLF.
Oh, your RLF also. Okay.
What got me in trouble is some other place we lived. My mom didn't want me riding my bike or riding bikes in the street. Anyway, I bribed this little kid with a candy bar to let me ride his bike. Well, I didn't know they were doing street construction and there was this big hole.
Oh, dear.
And so, of course, I landed on my head, and I think my mom cried. She said, "You just won't do anything I tell you, and now you have this big bloody head that I got to..."
Yeah, look how you turned out.
I know.
You still don't do anything anybody tells you. I mean,
well,
what's...
I know. Then I'm not
you
like
know, I used to ride,
weird jeans.
I used to put cards in my brother's bike spokes and ride behind
him.
Oh, yeah.
Cards or balloons. Remember balloons?
Yeah, we used card spokes because it sounded like a hydroplane.
Yeah.
And we were all into hydroplanes.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, we did survive. And
gosh.
There's a
historical note that I think I have to point out here since this may be my only chance. Everyone should know that I believe there's a photograph somewhere. I'm not sure. But it is said with some accuracy, I believe, that Sue Amateur was known to hold the ACB president on her lap when she was in the fifth grade and he was in the first grade.
No, there's no photograph. I just have told that story. Now, I was not 25. I was only in the fifth grade.
Oh, I see. We won't ask you who you held on your lap when you were 25.
Yeah, right. No, please don't. Anyway. I decided call in as usual to harass Marlena. So
yeah, she does a good
job
at that.
It's always good to hear your voice, Sue.
Good, haven't talked to you guys for a long time, so
yeah.
I'll have to listen
to
the first part of the show.
Yeah, yeah, catch it. Just stay there, and it'll come around. You know, it's like a boomerang.
Yeah, right.
You throw it out, darn thing keeps coming
like
back, no matter what you do.
Movie houses used to be.
That's
you
right.
Could come in.
That's right.
Say, this is where I came in, right?
That's right. Now I can leave. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Sue.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
The number is 866-666-7926. It's about 16 minutes past the hour, give or take in a big kind of way because it's the Internet. And by the time you hear this, it could be 19 minutes past the hour. It just all kind of depends on the Internet gods.
You know, you don't seem to have as many callers today as you sometimes do.
We're
not as popular as Ronnie, I guess.
Well, no, I'm afraid Ronnie burns up the phones. You know, it's like...
I was figuring that, you know, surely Kelly Saperja would call in.
Well, where is that Kelly Saperja?
Because I wanted to, you know, make the statement that when he first called me at Telesensory, when I used to work there, his voice hadn't changed yet. That's how long ago it was. It seems as though we're all reminiscing here. Everything seems to have continuity.
Well, you know, it's summer, and we have another call. Maybe
Uh-oh.
It's Kelly Saperja. Let's see who's joining us. Hi there. You're with Marlena. Who's this?
It's the Wango de Tango.
The Wango de Tango.
What are you doing, Marlene? It's Dale.
Hey, Dale, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great.
Are you enjoying the show?
Yes, we are.
Yeah? You guys, yeah. Meet Dale Campbell. He does the cooking in the dark stuff, and we've just brought him on to ACB Radio, and he's kindly, I'm going to be shameless, Dale. He's kindly at www.blindmysmart.com. If you use the coupon code ACB Radio, all one word, when you check out ACB Radio Benefits.
I've read about Blind Mice.
Yeah.
They're the ones that have the scholarship for people whose parents are blind.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes. We're one of the only, you know, Henry Kasson from Dallas, he's a friend of mine and such, but he was telling me that when he was searching for scholarships for his sighted daughter, he couldn't find any that were specifically for sighted kids of blind parents. And
ACB of Oregon used to do that.
Right.
I believe.
Well, and you know something that's kind of discouraging, too, that I've been learning about from talking to certain ACB organizations, you know, state organizations and such, a lot of the scholarships each year go unclaimed.
Yes, that's true. There's an organization in California called Through the Looking Glass that does this similar
kind of thing. It does scholarships for
parents with any disabilities. And
children.
Golly. There is another one also, but I cannot remember the name of it off the top of my head.
ACB of Oregon years ago used to have a scholarship for children of blind parents, I believe.
Fantastic. Yeah, in fact, we just got done. I won't announce the names yet, but we do have our three winners. And they're going to be getting, three $500 scholarships this year.
That's very cool.
So next year, our goal is $2,500 in scholarships, with, of course, the ultimate goal being every kid that applies gets a full four-year ride, but we'll see what mice can do.
Yeah, those mice need to get to work if they're going to do that.
There's
a lot to be said for that. I know that when my kid was college age, I sure couldn't afford to send him to college.
No. Well, and, you know, one thing we kind of discussed was the fact that a lot of parents, if sighted a visually impaired student or a visually impaired, you know, child is going to have more opportunity financially maybe sighted parents than a sighted student with visually impaired parents.
Yeah.
Sometimes, depending on the job markets and things like that.
Yeah, that's really very true, you know, when you think about it. Since, unfortunately, so many blind people are either not employed or are underemployed. That's really...
I was so lucky. I mean, I was so lucky to have seen and to have worked and to be in the boat I'm in now.
Yeah.
Where I can do this and spend 10 hours a day goofing around on blind mice and finding deals for us and at the same time, you know, making it a win-win situation for everybody.
Sure, sure. What do you think about this discussion that we're having, Dale, about kind of getting your sight back? Now, you've spent more years sighted than you have blind. So I'm suspecting that I think I know what you would say, but if someone were to offer you your sight back, how would that
I would ask them how much and when.
You would.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
But you know, it's strange. The more, now we're looking at 11 years now, almost 11 years. And as time goes on, I have gotten a lot more balanced with the blindness, but I am still looking for any means to get it back. Now, in my case, I mean, the car wreck, you know, the head injury I had, just it blew the retina off the back of my eyes.
Yeah.
So until there's some sort of artificial retina or a transplant and then being able to be tied into, you know, the optic nerve or something, it's not going to happen. But I do so enjoy dreaming, because when I dream, I can see.
Really?
And I am sighted in my dreams, but
really?
I'm also blind. It's really weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait,
you know,
I can't
Marlene,
do that because
I was
I'm blind.
Going to
oh, wait, I can't
on
do
that,
it because I'm
that,
dreaming, you know?
That sometimes when I dream with the 20/20 vision.
Right. Yeah, I have dreams sometimes.
It's a real trip because... you know, I'll be, I'm a little girl in Fresno standing down on the corner.
Say you're 5 years old.
Yeah, and I'm looking down the road and I'm seeing, you know, way down the road and you know, everything is, it's just really amazing.
What about you, Roger? What do you see when you dream?
Little or nothing, about the, you know, pretty much the same as I do when I'm awake.
See, me too. Now, I, you know, when I'm awake and I go into a room, I immediately create a picture of that room in my mind. You know, and I, and whether I'm right or I'm wrong, darn it, it's my picture and I'm sticking to it. You know, and
sticking with it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what happens in my dreams. That's absolutely what, you know, the room has a shape. It has, you know, tables and chairs or, you know, whatever it has. But everything is three-dimensional, but it's three-dimensional in my senses.
Yeah, it's sort of like it has the feel of, you have the feel that you could go and touch.
Yeah.
The things where they
yeah.
are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, those things are out there and you could go touch them.
Although sometimes I have this dream, you guys. Now, the three of you are going to just think I'm nuts.
Well, but, we already know that.
Hey, 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 watch it, watch it. Watch it, watch it.
That's why we're all clustered together here.
There you go. There you go. Four blind nuts.
That's right.
But sometimes I have this dream where I am driving a car. And I am blind, and I know that I'm not supposed to do this. And my heart is racing, and I sit there and I think, Lord, help me just to get where I'm going, and I'll never do this again. I promise I'll never, never do it again. And all of the, and this is a recurring dream, all of the times up until the last dream, I've always gotten there safely. This last dream, I was driving our the pickup truck that we used to own. It was a Ford F-250 pickup, and I went over a ditch. I went into a ditch, but I still got out, and I'm like starting to freak out because, like, what if I have an accident? Am I going to get out of that dream, or is that like curtains for me?
Wow,
it's bizarre.
Now that's cool.
But that's what pickups are supposed to be able to, you know, they were the predecessors to these all-terrain kind of things.
Yeah. And if you're in a 250, that's a good one to be in.
Yeah, well, that's the one I was in, and I call, and I called Gary and I told him, I said, I didn't wreck the truck. I'm okay, but I think you better come and get me because I shouldn't be driving. Oh, it's bizarre. Anyway, what's new with Blind My Smart this week, sir? Anything special?
Oh, yeah. We just uploaded about 400 new products.
Woohoo!
And we've been putting all kinds of stuff on sale. We've got
Woo-hoo!
Some wonderful outdoor furniture, tables, chairs, benches, swings, porch swings. And I've ordered them all in here personally so I can assemble them. And if anybody needs help putting them together, because some assembly is required, you know, but it's nothing difficult at all.
Very
easy,
cool.
Very nice, very cool, very nice products.
Very
cool. We're looking for lawn furniture for our condominium here.
Well, you can go to blindmysmart.com and
have
a look.
Give me a...
Spend a couple $1,000s?
Not that much. Actually, you can get a... The table retails for $220, and I believe we're selling it for $139. The chair
retails
for...
Yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, 10 or 12 tables and you know, I mean, we got a big pool area here.
Well, you know what we'll do, Rog? We'll just name next year's scholarship after you.
Hey, and look at all the money ACB Radio gets, Roger.
That's right. That's
do
right.
Your
Don't
civic
to put
duty.
ACB Radio in there, and
that's
then
right.
We'll be able to broadcast everything from the
Woo-hoo!
Convention as well.
We'll call it the Roger Peterson Memorial Broadcast.
That's right. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, yeah. But and we did get we. Oh, there's one thing that I want badly, and I'm going to probably order it for myself as a toy. But it's an 18-wheeler. You know, a big semi-truck remote control, you know, an RC remote control vehicle.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't need that or I'll be driving that in my dream
what,
next.
I think you could. It's one-tenth scale. It's over 4 feet long.
Oh my.
Yeah, I'm like, woohoo! I'll think, man, if I can, you know, build me a little seat on that and that thing goes, Kelsey will be out of a job. I'll be cruising down the street. But anyway, I just wanted to call in and say hey, and I've enjoyed the show and the debate. What do you do? Which line do you get in? And it's very understandable either way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whichever side of the coin you want to be on.
Yeah.
And it's the comfortable thing, and you know, that's what you need. You need to be where you're comfortable at.
Exactly. Hey, before I turn you loose, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Where on Blind My Smart do I find the grill baskets?
In the brand new department.
In the brand new. I spent an hour looking last week. I want a grill basket.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I thought they were up. They were under the camping stuff for a while.
Yeah, I went there. I thought, oh,
and
maybe camping.
They actually got hidden. I don't know what happened. I've had a lot of work done to the back door of the site to make it a little bit easier and get more features for us.
Yeah.
We've got that wish list registry now where people can add things to a wish list and then they can email it to friends.
Oh, very cool.
So birthday's coming up. Here's what you can get me, you know, or Christmas or if you're getting married or whatever you can anyway. But in that process, some of the stuff has been hidden and some has been removed. And it's just me and the mice are like, going crazy. If they didn't lose their tails, they would by now.
Wow. All right.
But it's under it's in the cooking and baking. And we've got the regular, the 12 by 16 grill basket up there.
Yep.
And I also got in a wok, an 11-inch wok for the grill.
You're kidding.
Which is really cool. It's got a bunch of, it's got a bunch of little holes in it, so it'll, evenly heat and stuff. And as a matter of fact, everybody for Cooking in the Dark this week, you're going to get a double dip because you get us on Tuesday or Wednesday at 1 Universal, right? Or 2 Universal.
Yeah, 2 Universal.
And then I'm also going to be on the Handyman. So we'll be outside doing some grilling, and I'm going to break out that wok and,
cool.
and do some stuff with it as well.
Very cool.
You got me excited about getting out there and firing up the pit, girl.
Very cool. All right.
I was making a steak and shrimp and oil.
Well, Bernice can tell you how much I love to grill from years
does.
Gone by.
Wonderful marinades.
Oh, man. Yeah. Sounds like we need to be coming over to her place, huh?
Yeah. After the show, come on over.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
All right.
I'll throw a dessert together.
All right, you do it.
Hey, y'all, I've enjoyed the show a bunch. Y'all keep it up.
All right, and to give listeners a hint about Dale's show on Wednesday, because I don't want to announce it yet, but you're going to flip over it.
Oh, boy.
Very good. Very
I got
good.
That.
That's great. That's great. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Marlena.
Thanks, Dale.
Hey, Roger, Bernice, y'all
nice
take it easy.
To meet you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't I have great listeners? I mean,
yeah.
This is just like, you just kick back and, you stay on as long as you want. If you guys want to hang up, you can hang up.
Have you ever had a listener call in that you didn't already know?
Once or twice, and I get all excited. Let's see who this is. Hi, you're with Marlena and everybody else. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Kyle. I've been listening to the show for a couple of weeks, and I finally got in.
Kyle, welcome. Here you go. There you are. Now, Roger, I don't know Kyle.
No, I'm
Are you from
new.
Boise, Kyle?
What's that?
Are you in Boise?
No, I'm actually calling from Utah.
Utah.
And it was so interesting. I probably shouldn't say this, but I finally found the secret to getting in. Well, I guess there wasn't really a secret, but I finally found it.
Yeah, so are you going to disclose it, or are you going to hoard it?
I'll tell you this much. You gave me a clue when you announced the time.
Yes, oh yes,
and I was like, oh, duh.
Yeah, there's a delay.
Yeah, there's quite a delay. And, sometimes it can be as much as 45, 50 seconds, a minute.
Yeah, depending on how... the capacity of your line and all that.
So what do you do in Utah, Mr. Kyle?
Well, I'm getting ready to go to Pennsylvania this next week to be the best man at a couple of friends of mine's wedding, and we met in Connecticut. All of us are blind. I'm blind, and Krista and Brent are blind, and they're getting married, and we have a couple of friends that are flying out, and they're also blind. It's going to be quite fun because my wife, who is sighted, is going to be the when it's the six of us, is going to be the only sighted person there.
Well,
that's going to be quite interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary will often make a joke when he's the only sighted person around. And sometimes you know how we are, you guys. We'll all get going on something, and you're trying to pass something, and all your hands are up in the air, and all of a sudden Gary will go, "Hold it, stop."
Yeah, try drinking a toast.
It was bad enough with two. That's
you need to clink your glasses.
Yeah. So
where are you in Utah, Kyle?
Right. right in Salt Lake City, pretty much downtown.
Ah. You may know our friends, the Stangers, there.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And,
good friends with
Linda Braithwaite and those folks.
Yep.
Ah, that's
I come from southern Idaho. And, you know, we're kind of brothers under the skin there. And I went to school with Lee Robinson.
At convention last week.
At the Idaho School for the Deaf and Blind in Gooding.
Mm-hmm.
So Utah's a kind of a semi-home place for me.
So what do you do in Utah, Kyle? Are you working, going to school?
I just graduated from the U with a degree in choral education.
Oh, well, then you must know Linda Braithwaite.
Oh, yeah.
The U means University of Utah?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
As opposed to BYU or whatever.
Well, actually, I'm applying there soon to go to a master's program.
Now, what is it that you hope to do?
I want to teach choir in college.
Good for you.
Wow.
I sang in choir in college. Mm-hmm. I sang Beethoven's Ninth.
Yeah. We just got
Fauré's Requiem.
About a year ago. We just did Beethoven's Ninth. Brady all
we sang Fauré's Requiem, which was nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So how long will you be working on your master's? Is it a 2-year program?
It's a 2-year program. Uh-huh. 2 years to the doctorate.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's if I get in. That's the
I have
part.
To move all the way to Provo from Salt Lake.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really hoping.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm awfully glad you called, and I hope you'll do it again.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's great to meet you. Are you coming to convention?
I wish I could. I've actually got a tentative job offer, which is the main reason that I won't be. So I'm hoping to.
Well, that's a good reason, though.
Yeah.
That's a very good.
Well, you know, if you ever get to the ACB convention, we do have the Friends in Art group, and we have
I know Gordon, and I know Mike, and I actually attended my first convention last year.
Did you meet Harvey Miller?
No, Mike
Harvey
Mandel.
Miller is one of the
Mike
people. He's a choral director from a college in North Carolina.
Well, there you
so
go.
There really are blind folks that do that.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Kyle.
Thanks.
All right, call again.
Definitely.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
866-666-7926. It's about 35 minutes past the hour. Don't forget that next week and the week after, we will not be here one of those weeks. You have to come back and see which one. We're going to replay the Ronnie Millsap interview of May 1st. Man, I tell you, I couldn't. That was crazy that night, you guys. The phone it was like I couldn't even really ask him any questions. And the first time people wrote and they said, we didn't get to call in. It was, you know, we take more calls. So this time I took more calls. People wrote in and said, you took too many calls. You should have asked him some questions.
Well, that's what happens when you're a star.
No, that's
so,
what happens.
Marlena, why don't you talk about your ports of call?
We've got a call. Hi there. You're with Marlena, Roger, and Bernice. Who's this?
This is Timothy from Halifax.
Hello, Timothy from Halifax. We can hardly hear you. Can you speak up a little?
How are you?
That's better. Meet Roger and Bernice.
Hi, Timothy.
Hello there, guys.
Yeah.
Hello.
What's going on What's going on up in Halifax?
It's kind of rainy, foggy, you know, the mix match.
Yeah? You say that to me every time I ask you what's going on up in Halifax. So did you have a comment or a question for Roger or Bernice?
I remember when I was actually blind at the Frederick Fraser School for the Blind, which is our local school here in Halifax. And I've always dreamt about being fully sighted, but that dream was actually smashed when I obtained glaucoma.
Ah. So you got glaucoma on top of being blind, did you?
That's correct.
Do you have any sight now?
I've only got 10%.
10%. Well, that's
a lot.
That's a lot, yeah. Yeah.
But it's enough that I can't read any of the large print.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
And as quickly as anybody else would be able to.
Yeah. Do you read large print at all?
Not too much. I normally use JFW, so.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, you know, it's 10%.
Well, we're glad we're getting into Nova Scotia.
Yeah. With that, we are. Well, you have a good week.
You too.
All right. Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, 866-666-7926. Scotland? What are you talking about?
New Scotland. That's what Nova Scotia
is. Oh, New Scotland. Yes, I know it does. I thought you said and Scotland. I was going to say, where's Roger gone, Bernice? let's see, some of the ports of call. We have 3 ports of call, actually. And I can't remember the order in which we're doing them. But I think that we're going up as far as the Hubbard Glacier. And we're going to see that for a couple hours, but of course, you know, you don't get off the ship at the Hubbard Glacier.
Oh, shucks.
I know. But, you know, I have walked on a glacier. Have you ever done that?
No.
Oh, it's really cool. When
Where was that?
In Juneau. We were in Alaska a couple of years ago. You know, we do this cruising thing. We just love to get on the ship. We don't, if it stayed in Puget Sound, we wouldn't care. We just like to be spoiled and have fun on the ship. So we often repeat our cruises. So this is our second trip to Alaska. But when we went there the first time, we visited Juneau, Ketchikan, and oh, golly, I just forgot the third city. But anyway, no, we're doing Sitka this time. We didn't do Sitka. But when we were in Juneau, one of the, well, we did 2 things that in Juneau are very unique. And things that you can't do anywhere in the world but Juneau. One of them is we ate in an historic place called the Red Dog Saloon. And if you look them up on the web, www.reddogsaloon.com, you get to read all about their history. And we didn't even know it was there. We just, Gary said, oh my gosh, here's a really old Western looking place. And it's still kind of the way it was originally 100 years ago. And, we walked in. And sawdust on the floor, the whole thing. Fortunately, I had left Madeline back in the cabin, so she didn't get all sawdust. But we go in there, and the waitress looks at Gary and says, what's the matter? Don't you like our chairs? You had to bring your own? Well, we knew it was going to be a great time. And they had a player piano, and people were, you know, pounding on the table. Give me another beer. Give me. Oh, it was just great. And then at one point, I needed to use the ladies' room. So I asked the waitress if she could direct me to the ladies' room. Well, she did all right. She kept telling her, excuse me, she's got to go to the bathroom. Excuse me. Oh, I tell you, it was so we did that. And we plan to do that again in Juneau. But the other thing we did that we aren't going to do again is we took a ride in what was then and probably still is now the world's only wheelchair accessible helicopter.
Oh, cool.
And we landed on a glacier. Now, Gary couldn't get out to get around on the glacier because the thing that makes this an accessible helicopter stays behind. And essentially what it is it's a seat that you sit in and you're sitting sideways and you get wheeled out to the helicopter. And this seat, which if you'll picture yourself sitting in the chair, and to your right arm there's a track that slopes upward. Well, they attach this device to the helicopter's power system, and the seat slides up the track and brings you level.
Yeah,
brings you level to the helicopter bench seat, then you just transfer over. So they can't take that, you know, on board the helicopter. However, But walking on the glacier was phenomenal. It was, first of all, one would think, if one didn't think long and hard about it, one would think that it would be cold. Well, with all that ice and the sun, it was very warm because the sun, of course, is reflecting off the ice. And so I just hopped out of the helicopter and took my cane and off I went to explore. You have to be very cautious because there are cracks in some of those glaciers and people have died. I mean, you know, you fall down the crack and you're gone. But it was a phenomenal feeling. It was like walking in a cotton candy world. You know, there was just silence all around you. Even if you clapped your hands, there was no sort of ambient
echo.
Yeah, nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So that was kind
of
cool.
Have you ever been in an anechoic chamber?
No, I have not. What is it?
I used to work at the National Bureau of Standards, which is now the National Institute of Standard Technology outside Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And they have an anechoic chamber, which means a chamber in which the echo has been reduced as much as they can possibly reduce it. And it's like that. If someone's facing away from you, you can hardly hear them talk.
Yeah.
Because there's no reflective surfaces. There are big wedges of foam sticking out of the walls that keep it from having any echo.
That's fascinating.
And then they have another room that has the maximum amount of echo. And it's a trip because you can sing a chord. You know, you can go, ah, 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 and you hear all the notes.
Oh, that's fascinating. That is fascinating. Well, this time, when we go to Juneau, we'll have lunch at the Red Dog, and then I'm going to go into a gold mine.
All right.
Yeah. Not accessible. It's not wheelchair accessible.
No, that's not too wheelchair accessible. Gary said...
I went in one of those in Cripple Creek, Colorado.
Did you?
Went down in that funny little cage.
Yeah.
They really pack people in that cage, body to body.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'm going to record this and, you know, have some sound files of it. And then when we go to Sitka... which I think we do Sitka the next day. I'm doing, you know, Sitka, of course, has still a tremendous Russian influence.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do what they call the Russian-American tour. And I'm not quite sure all of what that's involved, except the one thing I do know is that I get to see St. Michael's Russian Cathedral. And I think that should be fascinating. So, and then we're going to Ketchikan, but I'm not doing anything in Ketchikan. I'm just two tours, you know. Got to find time to have champagne, you know. You can't always be out doing healthy things. So we're really looking forward to it, and that's why the next 2 weeks, I try to make all this tie up here, that's why the next 2 weeks we'll
have... So you'll
have,
be back just in time to get ready to go to the ACB.
That's right. That's right. And on the 25th of June, I'm hoping very much that that is the Sunday that we will do the show concerning the Social Security litigation in which ACB is currently engaged.
Oh, yeah.
About accessible formats?
Yeah. I think Margie Donovan and Larissa Cummings from Drediff will be joining us to talk about all of that. So, and then after that, I'll be in Jackson. No, I won't. There's one more Sunday, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
That first Sunday in July. Yeah, the 2nd of July. I don't know what we're going to do. Actually, we may do a replay because I'm going to the Mariners game that day with the Washington Council of the Blind. So
who knows?
Who knows? Anyway, you guys, it's been great to have you on. I really...
Thank you.
I won't know how to act being here on the 4th, you know.
I know. How long
is it? So seldom are home on the 4th.
I know. And I actually am a little worried because my dog is terrified of fireworks, and that's never really been an issue, you know, because I've been in a hotel, but now it's an issue.
Political fireworks.
Yeah, never mind.
Well, thank you, Marlena, for having us.
Well, thank you so much, and we should do this again and just kind of do just a roundtable discussion of various and sundry things. It's just a good time to spend a couple hours with two good friends.
Yeah, it's a shame we have to go on the radio to talk to each other, isn't it?
I know. Well, I don't know. We weren't on the radio last week.
That's true.
Yes, indeed. All right.
That was great.
Well, Gary and I want to have dinner with you guys in Jacksonville, so let's work this out.
We'll save the date.
All right.
Yeah, we can probably even find the restaurants in this hotel.
Yeah, we probably can, and I probably...
Unlike the one in Las Vegas.
And I probably won't be confined to my room because of the overwhelming cigarette smoke problem, so...
Let us hope not.
Let us hope not. Thanks so much, you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thank you. All right.
Good night.
Good night. Very nice, folks. Very, very nice, folks. We're going to take a break for just a second, and we'll be back.
Going to the ACB convention this summer and want to do something wonderful for your body, mind, and spirit while helping ACB Radio at the same time? Debbie Hazelton, licensed massage therapist and mental health counselor, will be offering massages, Bach flower formulas, and energy work. Aromatherapy products will be available at convention discount rates, and 10% of all profits go back to ACB Radio. Purchase a session with Debbie, make an additional donation of $10 or more to ACB Radio, and get a free product. More information, including booking, rates, and gift certificates, is available by emailing healinghands4U@debbiehazelton, DebbieHazelton.com. Debbie Hazelton is proud to partner with ACB Radio.
And we're proud to partner with Debbie Hazelton. 866-666-7926. We've got about 6 minutes left. Plenty of time to take your call. Would love to hear from you. If you're not going to the convention, what the heck are you going to do for your kind of big summer splash? Oh, yeah. So we get home from the cruise, and then 2 weeks later, we leave for Jacksonville. So, boy, I tell you, lots and lots of travel. Lots of fun things this summer. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm very much looking forward to the convention. It always seems to fly by, if you will. And it's fun to spend time with old friends and learn about new technology and learn about what friends are doing. And just kind of catching up. So I do think that we blind folks are quite a community, if you will. You know, I started the show by pausing for an opportunity to remember Pat Schreck, who passed away this week after a very long battle with cancer. And, you know, it seems that whether you know a person closely, intimately, or not, within the blind community, when we lose one person, all of us feel that loss. And that's, to me, that's very special. I think that even, you know, within the community of this program, I frequently hear from the same folks, and I'm delighted to hear from those folks. When I don't hear from folks who call in every week or every couple of weeks, I wonder, gosh, I wonder, are they okay? Is there, you know, something wrong with them? And I think that's very special. And I'm sure that within the sighted community there is that kind of relationship, but I really think that when you're blind, you share a bond that is very, very different. And, you know, Debbie Hazelton, when she was on in the first part of the show, she said, I love going to the ACB convention. I love ACB. And to me, what I love about the ACB convention is that it is the only time, really, during the year when people like me make up the majority of the people around me. And I think that that's it's an important validation feeling. Anyway, I want to play something for you from my blind musicians folder. And I'd like to play it in memory of Pat Schreck, of Dean Jackson, who recently passed away in New Zealand, Pulse Data Humanware. If you have a Braille note, you certainly know Dean Jackson. And I think that this really describes how I feel about Pat and about Dean. And so if you will indulge me.
It's so easy to take for granted someone you always know. When the seeds of love were planted so many years ago, you always seem to know the things my life was going through. But there's something in my heart and mind I want to say to you. You have shined so bright through the years.
It's Rachel Robinson, and You Shine, and Dean, and Patty, wherever you are, rest well, and know that you have shined. I'm Marlena. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I'm Marlena, And this is the music of Lee Rettenauer, a little dolphin dreaming as we go out for this week. It's been a joy to be with you. And I hope you'll come back next week right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Let me thank the team that helps make all of this happen. That's Chrissy Cochran in the UK, Jeff Shang in Australia, and Gary the Board Guy in the other room. We'll be back again, same time, same place, next week here on ACB Radio Mainstream. But if you'd like to send me an email in the meantime, you can address it to Marlena. That's Marlaina at acbradio.org. Till we're together again, have a great week, and we'll see you next time, right here on Mainstream.